So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome to another edition of Wellness Wednesdays. I am your host, Eric Collard. This week, we're talking to a specialist. I think she might have a foot fetish. We're talking to a podiatrist, a doctor of podiatry, Dr. Julie Gauvreau, who's one of the experts in the National Capital Region. And welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. And just for the record, I don't have a foot fetish.
No. Yeah, so some people that might get into this might have a bit of a foot fetish, but not for you. Yeah.
No.
And actually, we'll start off with something very silly. Do people, what do you think the percentage of people that have ticklish feet that come and see you?
The percentage, I would say maybe 10% of people might be really ticklish to a point where it's very hard to have treatments with them. But usually they just tell me to hold really hard their feet and everything would be fine. But yeah, there's not that many people that are that ticklish to a point where I can't make a treatment.
Because I guess if you are coming in for a treatment on your foot and you have ticklish feet, it could kind of get tricky.
Yeah.
So now we have the silly stuff out of the way. You're a very serious person. And for folks at home that don't know what podiatry is, because I think it's still a fairly new specialty. I mean, I've been lucky. I've seen some specialists in your field before. But for those who don't know, what is podiatry?
Yeah, so podiatry is a medical degree. It's a doctorate degree, so a four-year program. So the first 2 years are concentrated on just medical medical programs that we do with the medicine program. So it's very general stuff. And then the next 2 years after it, it's a specialty that we do for all the lower limb. So it's kind of, if I like to compare it with my patients with dentistry. So the first 2 years you do a lot of general stuff, but after you specialize yourself in teeth. So the foot is pretty much the same thing. So we see all kinds of different problems with the foot. It could be dermatology, could be neurology, could be muscular skeletal problems. And we could see from kids to older also, so a lot of different age. So it's a very specific but very broad at the same time profession.
Okay, so basically you're dentist of the feet.
That's good to...
So, and what are your specialties?
So I did the doctorate degree at Trois-Rivières. So everybody has to do that, and 25 people are accepted per year. So it's very few people that are accepted. And then when you graduate, there's not much available right now besides continuous education. But I was lucky enough to do a fellowship in pediatrics, so I specialize myself with kids, and mostly deformities like clubfoot, other deformities that people might not know as much, but like metatarsus and problems related to the hind foot and the forefoot in pediatrics. So I'm specialized in that, but I also do a lot of different things in podiatry.
And so what would be the average person that comes to see you? What would be their problems?
The average person, I would say, would be starting at the mid-30s. A lot of people try to get more active, and sometimes they don't wear the right shoes, and then they hurt themselves. Mostly we see a lot of problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, and that's just from bad shoe wear often, not stretching enough, and sometimes it's people that are they're not active, and then they really want to be active suddenly. So that's where they have the most injuries. I would say that's the most people we see, but we also see a lot of people in dermatology with warts and ingrown toenail as well. So we see a variety of stuff.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, being a running coach, you see a lot of times of the too much too soon syndrome,
and it's for sure.
It's especially for the average person, they end up sitting at their desk all day, and then they go home, they're like, oh, let's go for a run. And even though I haven't run in 10 years, I just feel like I can still do it.
So
I see it on a totally different scale, and I'm not a doctor. I just play one on the internet. The whole field is fairly new. How long has podiatry been around?
So before, podiatry has been around for more than 100 years in the States. So most of our podiatrists were graduated from the United States and came to Canada to practice podiatry. But the problem is that many of the legislation, the laws, was limiting the practitioner for not doing as much as they would be doing in the States. So less and less podiatrists would come to the States, and then the province of Quebec decided that we should be having a program soon, because or else our profession is going to die because there's not enough podiatrists coming from the States. So they started the program in 2004. The first podiatrist graduated was 2008.
And were you part of that class?
No, okay. I graduated in 2010.
Okay.
But since 2008, there's been a podiatrist that's been graduating. Sorry, not 2010. I started 2010, but I finished 2014.
Yeah.
Since 2008, there have been approximately between 19 and 20 some podiatrists graduating on the Quebec side.
Okay, and so I assume obviously there's a college or
there's Quebec, an association
in Quebec. Yeah. And then is there something for the rest of Canada?
So it's very complicated. It's one of these professions that are very odd or different, like association in every province. So in Alberta, all of the East Coast, mostly British Columbia, also I think Saskatchewan. Most of them are DPMs like me, so they have a podiatric doctorate degree, but they're also surgeons. So on the Quebec side, we're DPMs, but we don't have the surgery part yet.
Okay.
So it's to come, but it's a long process, so we're just waiting for that to be available. But on the Ontario side, it's a bit different. Since 1991, the laws changed a bit. So they're accepting, it's called chiropodist or chiropodist. I'm not sure how you say it in English. And that's a bachelor degree. So they do minor stuff for dermatology. It's similar to podiatry, but less invasive, I would say. And less invasive, let's say it like that. But there also are podorthists, and those are people that do orthotics.
Okay.
So they're trained to make orthotics, but they're not able to evaluate the person. So that's why usually you need a doctor's referral for your insurance.
Okay.
But with us, because we're doctors, you don't need a referral for that.
So we have to call your doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So what made you want to become a podiatrist? You probably, in Quebec, I don't think the occupation was around when you were a girl. So it's like, hey, I want to be like this
exactly,
person.
Exactly.
So what made you want to do it?
So I've always liked the healthcare system, to help people and be able to bring them a feeling, making them feel good. I started wanting to be a physiotherapist because I really like the anatomy, how the body works, how the body's structured and how we can help it heal. So I did a course at Cité Collégiale. It's called Assistant Physio and Ergotherapy. So it's an assistant physiotherapist. And I really loved it, and I got really amazing grades. So my teacher were like, Julie, you got to go to the bachelor and do your physio. So I went to University of Ottawa, and I was doing my bachelor's in health to do after my master's. But when I was doing my bachelor, I worked for a physiotherapist, and I really enjoyed it, but I felt there was more I wanted more medicine stuff. So I started looking, and I was thinking maybe medicine, maybe, I don't know, pediatrics. But what I've liked about podiatry is you see everything in the lower limb, so you could treat something that's completely different from a sport injury. You could see somebody that comes and has a fracture, and that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So you see so much diversity in one day, and you're helping people every day. And there is that section of muscular skeletal for like that physio usually see, but you also see it more stuff. So I like that part.
Are podiatrists people that can't get into med school? So it is kind of like
No, not even. I think it's just a choice, a lifestyle choice for sure.
So I was just joking about that with one of our other recent guests on the podcast, Dr. Clement, because she's a chiro. And some people say that, well, chiros are people that, but for her, it was just more of a personal choice.
Yeah, exactly.
She didn't like needles. So,
so there you go.
to each her own. We've talked about some of the schooling, so it's not something that you can just do overnight.
No, not at all.
And there's a lot of stuff that gets involved. And So your specialties are kind of all over the place, including some children. What percentage of your clientele are children?
I would say 25% is my clientele, mostly because now that I'm a specialist in the practice, most of the kids are referred to me.
Yeah.
More and more parents are aware of the specialty, so they just come for a consultation. Often they think that their kids has flat feet, or they might always run into their own feet and they fall. Some parents have also problems with their feet and they want their kids to be checked before they have problems like them. So I think it's getting more and more popular for just a checkup.
Yeah.
Especially on the Quebec side, there's less and less physicians pediatrics just for kids. So more and more physicians are seeing kids instead of pediatrics.
Okay.
So I think the parents, they feel that they need to go see a little bit more specialists for some of the areas that are more, they think that they would need more time.
Okay. And so what is in your toolbox? What can you do with a patient?
So it depends. For mostly injuries for the foot or the lower leg. If I take an example of somebody that comes with a arch pain, for example,
So
it would take about 30 minutes with them doing a biomechanical exam. So I would evaluate the feet, the knees, the hips, the back, everything to see where the problem is coming from. Because sometimes we may have a foot problem, but it's coming from a discrepancy of one leg that's longer than the other. So we have to look to the global of the person's biomechanics. After that, I do the biomechanics, then I do x-rays, and that we would be talking about the patient, what's wrong with the bones after. And we also do imaging of the posture. So after all the examination, I sit down with the patient and I tell him everything that's happening. And that's why I think podiatrists and other professionals work well together, for example, like chiros, because I could work a lot with the lower leg, but sometimes there's also compensation on the upper extremities, and then I could work with the lower extremities, and then if I see something that I think that would be good to evaluate, then I will send it to the chiropractor. So for the treatment, usually what we do is orthotics, depending of the injury. I would say most of my patients I would treat with orthotics, but sometimes it's injury that just happened, and so I would do taping or cryotherapy or laser, or sometimes I'm just going to give them exercise or stretching, educate them on good shoes also. Every person have different types of feet, so sometimes I'll tell somebody, well, you need a heel for you, and sometimes I'll say to somebody, you don't need a heel at all. Or different sports shoes also for different pathologies also. So for the biomechanic, for the musculoskeletal problems, that's mostly what I do. But then when I get in dermatology and other stuff, then there's another big side of podiatry that I could talk for an hour.
Yeah. Well, and since we're trying to keep it to half hour,
exactly.
So what do you have to say to people that say that orthotics are overprescribed and don't really have much use for the average person?
Yeah, so what I tell to my patients usually is that nobody's perfect for sure, but you want to see things that are pathologic. So, for example, if you're having pain, you have to come and see a specialist. So a podiatrist would be the best. And then we see what's the best option for you for sure. There is some people that have really pronated feet, and I will tell them, well, you're not having any pathology. That's great. But sometimes people come and they have knee problem and hip problem, and it may be caused by the feet. So I say to my patients, if you don't want to wear orthotic, then you may have other issues later, or if you already have them and you're not helping yourself. So it's kind of like somebody that has bad eyes and should be wearing glasses. So if you avoid wearing glasses, your eyes going to get worse with time. So it's pretty much the same principle. And when you're wearing orthotic, at first you want to heal, right? So you want to wear your orthotic as much as possible so you feel comfortable and you don't have any pain. Some people, after that, they just wear it for activities like sports, running, jumping, all kinds of activities that you need to move a lot. But if you're sitting at a desk, then maybe it's not an issue for that period of time. So people sometimes they feel that orthotic, they have to wear them all the time. When you have pain, then you have to wear them for sure. But after that, you could see with your activities when to wear them and when not to wear them. And it depends on each person also, for sure.
Before we get in, because I really want to touch on the cryotherapy stuff.
Yes.
It's something that really fascinates me, and it's something that I've done, and it's been great. But it's also kind of cutting edge still.
Yes.
You talked about shoes.
Yes.
I'm a runner. A lot of people are runners. And obviously, I don't want to get you to be so specific, but
yeah.
What should people, from a podiatrist standpoint, what should people look for in shoes?
So if you're a beginner, usually what I recommend is a shoe with a heel lift, because often when you're starting to run, your Achilles tendon is very tight because you haven't been stretching it. Most of people don't stretch their Achilles tendon.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
stretch every day for hours. So I'm not, but I've heard people that.
Exactly. So most of people don't stretch. So when they start running, often people have problem with their Achilles tendon. So for shoes, definitely a heel lift. And I would say about 70 to 80% of people do have pronated feet. So that means that the foot collapses. And that if you run right away with that type of foot, sometimes you get tendonitis or plantar fasciitis. So you want a shoe that's kind of rigid. You don't want a shoe that folds in two. If I would suggest somebody, I would say to, first of all, get a heel lift in your shoe and don't wear flexible shoes. And right now it's pretty much the trend. So we're getting more and more people in the clinic. So I tell them every time, I'm like, put these shoes away. But then when you become a runner that is more experienced, then you know these things. You know that you need to stretch more, your body's more used to the impact, and then you can lower down the heel if you want to.
Okay. Because as a chi running person,
yes, I
it's the total opposite, but I understand it's also someone that's coming brand new to it.
Yes.
And someone like I wear very minimalist shoes, like there's almost nothing to them.
Yeah.
But I've also been running for
exactly
a few years.
Exactly.
And I think I might be biased, but I think I've got pretty good biomechanics.
Yeah.
And I haven't been injured because of running in years. So I think it's a good thing. In terms of the differences between men and women, do you see any? One thing that comes to mind is heels. Like women wear heels, and I love women in heels. It makes the leg look beautiful.
Yeah.
But as I think I know, and I think most people know, heels are terrible for you.
Yes, definitely.
So does it have actually an impact on people?
Definitely. I would say, for example, summertime, we see more women coming in the clinic because they're so used to wearing high heels during spring, winter, and autumn. And then when it comes to summertime, it's the flip-flop, trend.
Yeah.
So more people come with pain in their Achilles tendon or plantar fasciitis. And often I will just strap those people just to maintain the arch and for it to heal and ice it. So I would say that. And also what's bad with the heels is a lot of people, they have bunions with women, mostly bunions than men because of the wrong pair of shoes. And so often it's a little bit of more educating. But at a certain point when the woman comes in and they say, yeah, my feet hurt, usually it's they realize that they have to stop wearing those type of shoes. Or we just compromise and then I say, well, during the weekend when you're active, wear good shoes. If you're at work and you're not walking much, then try to have like half of time a good pair of shoes. With men, I would say it's mostly rigidity. Most men are not flexible, so often I'm like stretch. And then they're like yes, and then I see them like 4 or 5 weeks after and I'm like, have you been stretching? And they're like,
no, not really.
Yeah. I'm like, so
I stretched once. Yeah, exactly.
No, you gotta do it every day. So there's a difference with men and women, but the injuries are pretty much the same. It's just one's more like stretching and the other one is more shoe wear,
okay.
I would say.
I mean, I've seen some men with really elevated shoes
Yeah, that
nowadays.
too.
That's it. But yeah, I think for overall, again, if we're and just a bit of a generalization, but yeah, it can make a difference. Going back to cryotherapy, how long you've been doing that? What has been the experience like? I've had it done on me. It's amazing. Plus, full disclosure, I love cold stuff. I take cold showers, I take ice baths like on a regular basis, and the benefits I think are, there's some science behind it, but I'd love to get your take on how long you've been doing cryotherapy, why you do cryo, like, and what's it good for and what's it not good for.
Yeah, definitely. So cryotherapy, we started
Oh,
out.
and can you define it for people at home?
Yeah, so cryotherapy is a spray, can I say it?
Yeah,
A
spray.
spray of cold.
So is
It's
it nitrous oxide?
exactly. That's what
Okay.
it is. So it's under 0 degrees. So, or between 0 and 4 degrees, the cold that's applied on the skin,
So it's cold.
it's very cold.
Yeah.
And you should apply it about 30 to 45 seconds, because if you apply too much, then you could get a burn, like
Yeah.
from an algebra, how you say
Yeah.
algebra, and
Like it's almost like a frostbite.
frostbite. Thank
Yeah.
you. A frostbite. So you have to be careful who's using it. It can't be anybody that's using it. So the effect of cryotherapy is that when you're bringing cold to an area, you're causing a vasoconstriction of the arteries, so the blood flow. So if the blood flow is stopping, or there's less blood flow in that area, what happens is the blood that is pooling is decreasing. So we want a decrease of the blood that's in the area, especially when you just had an incident. Like if I take you as an
Yeah.
incident, you came to the clinic and you had a lot of edema and an hematoma also of the foot.
That means nothing to people, but yeah. I had inflammation.
You had a big
There
inflammation.
you
It
go.
was
Yeah.
blue
Okay.
and purple.
Yeah.
So when you have that, you want to decrease all that blood flow. So by putting the cryotherapy, you're diminishing the blood flow at that area. And also, what is good, it creates also an analgesic. How do you say
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
analgesic.
that sounds
So it's
good.
like
Yeah.
taking Tylenol
Okay.
for a
Yeah.
couple of minutes. So
Yeah.
that helps also. And then when the blood flow comes back, it flushes all the bad cells that are just pooling in that area. So for a sprain or something that's very that's just happened recently, cryotherapy is awesome for that. When you're in a position where you had an injury where it's chronic, then it's not as helpful, because your cells are just there, they're not doing anything, and you have to do something that's a little bit more invasive to help the blood flow. But when there's a pathology that just happened, like for example, a sport injury, soccer, so that is very good for that. And we started using it because we see more and more people that are aware of podiatry, and they come with really bad injury right on the spot, kind of like you. So instead of putting them in orthotic or putting in something very like medium to long-term treatment, well, we prefer to treat them right away for the pain, and then if we see it's a necessity to put them in another type of treatment, like an orthotic or better shoes, at least we help them for the moment. So that helps a lot.
And like, how long does it usually take for someone to get better?
Usually it takes about, I don't know, probably 4 to 6 weeks, and
Okay.
usually just with the cryotherapy by seeing them often. But some people heal faster. Some people heal after 2, 3 weeks, and some takes a little bit longer. I would say it goes with age.
Yeah.
More you're older, more it takes time. But when you're young, I feel you recuperate a little bit faster.
Good thing I'm getting younger.
Yeah,
And would you take a, because there's been now, like, there's cryotherapy baths that you can kind of go in and for, would you like,
I would try that for
yeah.
sure. I think it would be good because it kind of like shocks the system, and if
Yeah.
you have any inflammation,
Yeah.
then it just creates a better blood flow to the areas where you do have inflammation. So I think there's much more articles that should be there, you should be doing on that specific, but I don't know much about it for the body, but for the foot, there's a lot of positive results.
And there's so I'm studying this gentleman called Wim Hof. You should look him up. So he's from Holland, and he holds a bunch of world records. And one of them is the longest ice bath submersion.
Wow.
An hour and a half.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's and he regulates with his breathing. He can actually keep a core temperature of whatever 37 degrees while he's in ice bath. Anyways, but he swears by the cold stuff and a lot more. I'm hearing on some podcasts. I'm reading articles. I'm also, I think, being a guy who runs really hot, I love the cold.
Yeah.
So, and I find it therapeutic. But for the total opposite, like my mom is always cold. And like even like her being an air conditioned house.
Yeah.
Like she's like always freezing, puts on three sweaters, whereas like I'm the total opposite. But so I guess they do show. And I think women too are usually colder than men.
Yeah.
So whatever, it is what it is. But I think we haven't even seen the peak of cryotherapy.
No, we haven't.
And are you using it more and more now?
Yeah, I'm actually using it more and more because I just feel there's so much good results. And even sometimes my patient comes and I won't even charge them because I know they're going to feel so good with it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just going to do you a little treatment, and then they feel good about it. So they're like, yeah, that helped a bit. So it insists them to do also icing at home.
Okay.
So I'm like, here, I'm going to ice it here, and they see that it feels good. So I'm like, well, continue doing icing at home after an injury.
And what's the feedback you get about cryotherapy? Because it must be like, wow, what are you doing? And
people are really impressed because
is it weird at first for them?
Yes, because they've never seen it.
Yeah.
But I think they understand when I explain to them what is the treatment. I think some people are like, wow, this treatment is really short. Like there's not much to it.
Yeah.
But after maybe 2 weeks, they see a major difference, and then they want to come back and they want to make sure they're doing the whole treatment to make sure everything's fine.
Yeah, no, if you're getting good results, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Even if it's a placebo, which I'm not saying this is.
No, but it works. But it's very short-term treatment, so people are kind of surprised about that.
Yeah. Very good. A couple more questions, because I know you're a busy lady and we don't want to take up too much of your time, but if I had to ask you, what does wellness mean to you?
Wellness?
Yeah.
For me, it's the importance of taking care of the physical part of your body, but also mentally part of your body. And wellness is the responsibility of each own for me. So if you're not feeling well or you're having issues with your foot, you should be consulting somebody that's specialized for that. Same thing as your mind. Same thing as if you have a tendonitis at your shoulder, you should be maybe seeing a physiotherapist. So it's the whole thing of the body. Because sometimes when we talk about wellness, we only think about the physical part, but there is an emotional and also psychological part. And when you're not treating something that is physical, it affects your mental.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of people that come to my office, they're very discouraged because they have foot problem, but it's been 2-3 years they have foot problem, but then they tell me that I gain weight, I don't feel good, I don't know what to do, which exercise, because every time I do something, it's not helping. So by helping them with their feet, I help them with many other issues. But it's just taking care of the whole body.
Very nice. If people want to know more about what you do, the services you offer, and is there a website?
Yes, it's CPO Outaouais, altogether.com.
I'll put it on the show notes
definitely.
As well. Yeah.
Sorry, it's French too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But all our podiatrists are bilingual, so it's easy to talk to them. And we have a lot of information online about different pathologies, mostly the most common ones. But I think it's good just to be evaluated by a professional if you do have any pain or doubts of something that's happening with your extremities.
And people from Ontario side can come and see
Definitely.
Yeah.
And often most of the insurance only pays for the podiatrist part.
Okay.
So if they have insurance, it's best to see the specialist.
Yeah.
for that.
And just acknowledge one of your colleagues, Dr. Annie Jean, just ran in the world championships.
Yes.
And I think placed 12th. She's a top Canadian.
I know. It's amazing. So we're all really proud of her. Yeah. So that's amazing.
Hopefully she'll get a free treatment when she comes back.
Yeah, for sure. She gets all the free treatment she wants, for sure.
So for those at home who don't know, Dr. Annie Jean is a podiatrist by trade, also an incredible runner, and also a very, very nice person to boot. So congratulations to her, and congratulations on your success. Thank you for spending time with us.
You're welcome.